Today is the January 25th of 2010 in Vrindavan. This is the appearance day. Right? This appearance day. Achcha. Avibhav Tirobhav are basically the same. Of Srila Ramanuja Acharya. First thing I want to mention is, aside from the Acharya's life, what do we get from a sadhu? Anyway, sadhu sangha is not what you get with the eyes. Of course, that is there. Gangara para sohele paschate pavan darshane pavitra koro e tumar gun. Narottam Thakur Mahasai says that by seeing the Ganga, we become, or bathing in the Ganga, we become purified. By seeing a sadhu, we become purified. Yes, but what is the idea of a pupavani? Just like there's a shloka about Tulsi Rani in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Where this is 1-2-203. Yadrishta Nikalaga Sangha Samani. By seeing her, all your host of sins fly away. Sprishta Vapu Pavani. By touching her, you become purified. Roganam Abhivandita. By offering her prayers, your diseases fly away. Nirasani Asikantaka Trasani. And by offering her water, your that which will cause your end, your karma, that which will cause your death, your destruction, trasani, will tremble in fear. And pratyasati vidayani bhagavata krishna se santrupita. And if you plant a tulsi somewhere, she will bring you close to Krishna. Pratyasati vidayani, by going close to Tulsi Rani. Pratyasati vidayani bhagavata krishna sasandropita. She sows Krishna in your heart. And that's another way of looking at the shloka. Then, nyasta tat charane. If you offer her at the feet of Krishna, vimukti faladab, then you get an amazing liberation, which is prema. That gives liberation. Vimukti phalada tasyai tulasyai nama. Now in his tikka, Bhanu Swami mentions, Jiva Goswami says in his tikka, there, Sprishta Vapu Pavani, that Vapu Pavani means that Bhotik, it's like Bhotik Janma, or Dur Janma, Durata Janma, Nasyati, something like that, that your faults of your birth become destroyed. What do we get from sadhus? So the there's a generic shloka glorifying sadhus. The Acharya, Vande Sri Gurudevam Tam Karuna Varunalayam Yadakrupa Tava Leshena Pamaropi Amarayate. We offer respectful obeisances to the spiritual master, who is an ocean of mercy, Karuna Varunalayam, very, very magnanimous. Karuna Varunalayam, this is magnanimity, his mercy is very magnanimous. Yata Krupa Tavale Shena, even a small fraction of his mercy, Pamaropi, even a fallen person, Amarayate, can become liberated, can obtain immortality. You know, it's like, wow. What do we get from a sadhu? If, basically, the main thing of sadhu sangha is shiksha anusara vardma, following the path of that follows their instructions. That is what a sadhu is. If you have a question, then to sadhus or sadhvis, like that, Vaishnava Sangha means that. If you have a question, then you have a sambandha. And that prashna, that question should be so deep that it should be relevant for Lokehita, for the benefit of all the world. And if you get an answer from that sadhu or sadvi, Vaishnava, Vaishnavi, that touches your heart indelibly, this is called vidya. Education means, according to Hitopadesh, which changes the heart indelibly, permanently. The words used in the shloka, it says that just like a clay pot baked in an oven cannot be changed after it is baked. So the same way, shiksha is given in the form of stories to make an indelible impression on the heart of the student. Like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Vrata was considered to be like the lines on a stone. You could not change it. So, sadhu sangha means that shiksha anusara bhartma, that actually you are following the instruction. The instructions literally transform and change your life permanently. When a sadhu or sadhi says something that is so relevant for you, time stops. At that point, you can never forget that. You'll never forget what they said. Just like I was with Srila Giriraj Maharaj in Kiev, and I asked him many questions about Tulsi Rani and Seva, about things. And he would remember Prabhupada. You know, how Prabhupada spoke so forcefully like that. And I asked, when? Is there any witness, any sakshi, anybody that was there at the time? That I can, you know, meaning of God brothers or God sisters, that I can go and I can ask them, you know, to, do you remember that time? You know, what would be your impression of that time? Oh, I remember, you know, the chairs that he sat in, how he sat. But the most important thing is I remember how he spoke. And I just blanked everything out, here at Rajmar said. I just blanked everything out. I don't remember who was there, he goes. You never forget it for the rest of your life. It was a nice thing that they were describing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he always liked to keep his disciples in debt. That they were always perpetually in debt. Guru Maharaj gave them such nectar, such instructions, that changed their hearts in so many ways, practically on a daily basis, that the disciple was always a debtor to their spiritual master. Keep them always in debt. This is the sambandha what you have with shishyas, with instructors, instructees. So, Srila Ramanujacharya, and if you're not ready to prepare to serve their instructions, then what is the darshan? The darshan was cosmetic. It's cosmetic only. If you, you know, like I remember once, my sannyas guru Niranjan Maharaj gave a lecture and I was busy or something, I couldn't go. So I asked his secretary, what happened? You know? Oh, it was a great lecture. Well, what did he say? You know, he said it was a great lecture. Wow, what did he say? And he would think about it and he would speak a little bit. Tell me more. What else did he say? And then he would think a little bit more and he would speak a little more. What? He spoke for only 45 minutes. Spoke for 45 minutes, 1 hour. And that's all you could remember? You can regurgitate 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Come on, fella. Give me more. Now, what else did he say? Oh, I forgot. So what was it? It was eye exercise and ear exercise. Just like you turn on a DVD movie. And you look at it, and you turn it off. What did you get? 2 hours shot to hell. That's what you got. You know? And if you have pay-per-view, then you know your pocket is drier by that much less also, you know. You got kuchniyin, you got vyarta, you got nothing. Sadhu Sangha means shiksha anusara bhartma. You are following their instructions, the path of following their instructions. And as you churn it, samadhigata, Raghunath Das says in Mana Shiksha, samadhigata sarvartha tataya. If you meditate on that, they carry all benefits to the hearer. That's the idea. Again and again, you meditate on those instructions from so many paradigms, and you always see some new light there. Wow, I never thought of it that way. This is why Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Gita Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hari Gita is Nava Nava, is always ever fresh. Tadevya Ram Yam, Ruchi Rama Navama Navam. Bhagavatam at 12:50, Tadevya Ram Yam, it's charming. Ruchi Ram, very tasty. Tasty means you can chew it for days. You know, you eat some prasadam, you know, and it goes down, you know, and you may digest it, you may not digest it. Because, you know, when you're an old person, you know, it doesn't work anymore, you know. Eating business is finished, you know. What would you eat? Harinam. Ramanama Ladiwa, Krishnanama Ghee, Harinama Kandakir, Goli Goli Piya. You know, which is the Vrijavasi saying. Rama's name is like a ladu, Krishna's name is like a ghee. Harinam is like sweet rice with crystal sugar. Goli Goli Piya. Put it together, drink it. And Pipata Bhagavatam, Rasamali, drink the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the elixir, the rejuvenator. The idea of it is, by drinking that nectar, you're never satisfied. Who can be satisfied? Bhagavatam says. Who can be satisfied by hearing katha? The ears will never be satisfied, you know? Or Harinam, you know, like Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says, you know? The holy name in its dancing on the tongue. Karna Koda Kadambani Gatayate Karanarbu Devyas Priyam. When it enters into the ear, we wish that we had many millions of ears. And Chaita Prangana Sangame Vijayate Saravendriyana Pratom. When it enters into the courtyard of the heart, all the senses become stunned. No jane janita ki adabiramratai krishne divarnatvai. This way, I don't know what nectar these two syllables Krishna bring. Haridas Thakur laughed when he heard Rupa Goswami compose that shloka. He said, "Wah! This is one of the best verses glorifying Harinam I ever heard." You know? Poetry is like that. In the first shloka of Vrajariti Chintamani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says, "You know, I would like to write poetry like Rupa Goswami, but who can write poetry like Rupa Goswami? Nonetheless, I have to try." So it is a seva of poets, you know, to follow. But real thing means it changes the heart indelibly. The sadness of it is that sometimes you just can't remember everything. Like, there's one kavi that one sannyasi in Braj told me about sadhus. And he said, tatralolyam. Because in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it says, tatralolyam abhimulyam ekalam. Krishna consciousness means the intense greed to have it. Is the root of bhakti is tatralolyam. So, one devotee's comment on that is, tatralo yom, according to that Greek, yatra adhikara, then qualification will come. And what's fun is that the sannyasi said with a smile, he must have been like 65 or something, I think it was Damodar Maharaj, maybe down by Himutal. I haven't seen him in years, I don't know. Anyway, but he goes, it's nyay, it means ultikoro, you can flip that, you can completely flip that. You can go, tatra adhikara yatra loyo. If there is qualification, there will be greed. But it means, if there is no qualification, then there's no greed. Because Maya's got you, you know. Maya mohita, you know. Sri Govinda padam bojo marano mahadada bhutam yatapayano namoyanti moyanti yatapayana. This has to be one of the best verses for Charanamrita I ever saw in the Southern Declension of Mukundamala. Sorry, it's not in the BBT version. That the liquor distilled from Govinda's lotus feet is most amazing. One who drinks that liquor becomes free from intoxication. One who refrains from drinking it becomes intoxicated by material illusion. Choose your liquor. What do you want to be intoxicated with? Charanamrita. Wow. So Sadhu Sangha means that which changes the heart indelibly. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, our business is to keep the disciples always in debt. That's the idea. Always a debtor. Hitopadesh says, Vidya means it's indelible. Like you bake a pot and it is unchangeable. So Vidya is given to make an indelible impression on the psyche of a student. That's what Vidya means. So the Acharyas, Ramanuja Acharya, did like that, like all Acharyas. And they live forever in their Shiksha. Because that is Sadhu Sangha. Shiksha Anusara Bhartma. That is Sadhu Sangha. The association of their instructions. That is Shashwat. Because it goes on eternal. Because it is Krishna. Because they follow Shastra Pramana. Krishna says in Gita, the last shloka of the Sura Asura Vibhag, 16th chapter. Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te Karya Akarya Vyavastati Agatva Shastra Vidanuktam Karma Kartam Yaharasi. We should discriminate what should be done, what should not be done by following Shastras. Knowing that, you deserve to act accordingly. That's what the shloka says. So, the Pramanam are three. Narottam Thakur Mahasai says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitte Te Kariya Aikya Arana Kariya Mani Osh. Sadhu Pramanam, Shastra Pramanam, Guru Pramanam, and Sadhu Pramanam, these three things make up my mind, and I don't want anything else there. I don't have any other desire to have anything else there. So what does it mean? The first thing is Shastra Pramanam. Everything flows from Shastra. And Anumana, the opinion, is Anumana, the mind that follows what? It follows the Sanskrit. Or the Acharya's Vachana, the words of the Acharyas. Or the Bangla, or like that, the Pramana. And if you have no Pramana, then you have an opinion. One person's sadhu is one person's guru is another person's sadhu, is another person's ordinary man. Your opinion may be good for some shishas, but it may not touch the heart of people. Therefore, the opinions that do touch the heart are those that follow the Sanskrit, those that follow the Bangla, those that follow the Shastra Pramana. That is a strong opinion. And the more opinions, the better. Like Sanatan Pad and Gopal Bhattapad and Hari Bhakti Vilas, when they're talking about something like Akadasi, you know, they'll use like three, four Pramanas. They're making a point. And they'll pull from Puranas. Three, four Pramanas they'll give you. If it's one Pramana, we say, it's Kali Yuga. We can't be fanatical. We can't do that. We're too foolish. You know? If you have one Pramana. If you have, you know, Shraddha, Sudrida Nishchoy Shraddha, if your Shraddha is firm, then one Pramana is enough to make your mind take off. Yeah, I should do that. You know, Karma Kartami Harasi. Yeah, I should do it. But if you have Komala Shraddha, then you think, we can't be fanatical. We can't follow this. You know, this is, you know, they did it 400 years ago. We can't possibly think of that. You know? Like that. That's it, Komala Shraddha. And if you have two Pramanas, that makes it even stronger. The first Pramana means maybe it's interpolated. Maybe it was from an inauthentic source. Who spoke that? You know? Because it's not what necessarily what the Pramana is. Who spoke it? What was the context? You know? And he spoke it to whom? You know, like that. Because when you see Pramana, you're looking in different directions. Where did they speak it? Who did they speak it to? What was the lakshana of that sadhu or sadvi who spoke it? Then the shloka really, pack, really hits you in the face. Wow! You know, it really wakes you up. Food means you can chew that shloka for days. You eat some prasadam, you know, it's gone. You know, you may digest it, you may not digest it. You know, after you answer the call of nature, you wonder, have I committed prasad aparad? You know, I couldn't digest it, I couldn't use it. You know? And what's amazing, Prabhupada was talking about when one devotee asked him about feeding Krishna. And Prabhupada said that Krishna is greedy to eat proportionate to your greed to give it. What is the value of what we have? Dravya, the material item. In Kali Yuga, it is simply going downhill day by day. Even if you can say from your childhood, the qualities of the vegetables, the qualities of the milk products and everything, grains, you know. Nowadays it's like, what do you have? All you have is your lobha. And as soon as you desire, I will offer it to Krishna. Then internal potency takes over and everything is arranged. Krishna says, I am the fire, I am the butter, I am the offering. Everything comes from Krishna. And Krishna is that. And still Krishna wants our love. He wants our love. I'll never forget it. And Krishna does it to inspire us. I'll never forget it. Once a devotee, dear to my heart, in Mauritius, the president, probably the longest serving president, in this gun. He's still on the seat. He didn't have anybody else. He can't. I don't know if he can retire, you know. He just, 1977, something like that. He said, hey, can you bring some stone jewelry for Krishna Balaram? We want this color. And I was bringing some jewelry from Jaipur and this and that, stone jewelry. We need this color. Huh? It's malachite. I'll get that in Russia. I didn't know. Little did I know that the mines in Russia are dried up and they get it mostly from Brazil. But anyway, that's another story. So, you know, this is like July, something like that. Then, you know, like 3-4 months later, I was in Russia. And the Lord came in my heart. You promised to give me this. Yeah, I promised to give you that. Right. You know, so then I asked some householders, hey, I want to give Krishna Balaram this jewelry. Yeah, I'll get it, you know. So the householders, they bought it. What do you want? I want it like this, you know, this big around, you know, necklace like that. Yeah. So they went and they got it. And they handed it to me next day. Here Maharaj, 5 kilos. You know, 5 kilo jewelry. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, it was like, I don't know, July, August, September, something. Wait a minute. The devotees from Mauritius will only come to Vrindavan and Kartik. My God, I've got like, you know, 3-4 months aside. How will I get it to the Lord for that? I'm going to carry this 5 kilos of jewelry for 3-4 months. Jai Gornatai Krishna Baladao Dunabhaya Jai Lalita Vishakar Radisham Ki Jai. So I'm thinking like that, okay? So I go to 2 more temples or something, I go back to Moscow, and we just happen to go across the street when I land there to this Leningradsky Bogzal, the St. Petersburg station, and we're going to get our train tickets to go. And who happens to be in the queue? A disciple of Gopal Krishna Maharaj from Mauritius. And he comes out. He gets out of the queue and he comes and sees me in the parking lot. And I see him. I think, he must be from India. So I start talking to him in Hindi. Hey, where are you from? Who are you? I'm Arvind Muttu, he said. I'm going to Petersburg for one day. And then on Monday, which is 3 days later, I'm going to my home. Where's that? Mauritius. I'm on vacation. And then I left. And I called him back in my bag and I opened up and gave him the 5 kilo jewelry. And I said, Krishna Balaram have sent you to courier this to the neck. I told him he should get the same jewelry for the deities, for the Radha Krishna deities that live near his house. Yeah, I'll do it. And then and I met him and his Russian, young Russian wife in Mauritius just now recently. You know, he came to Vrindavan and Kartik. Did you ever get that jewelry for Radha Krishna's neck? No. Why? Well, there was the skinhead. They were chasing me to beat me up. You know, and I was running from away from him. Ah, but that means that you promised Radha Krishna you would give him that necklace, now. Huh? So now you got to get it. You know, you have to fulfill that promise. I laughed and I told him, don't forget that promise you made to them. You made it in front of me. Huh, I'll get it, you know. Now you better fulfill it. You better get it for them. But he is Krishna, is the butter and the fire and the offering. We simply have to give it to him. I will make this cloth and I will give it to him. I will make this necklace and I will give it to him. I will make this garland and I will give it to him. And you have to literally cry that they take it. And he will come and steal it before you even offer it. He'll come and steal it. Or in this case, he makes all the arrangement. I thought, what a small world, you know. 5,000, you know, 6,000, 7,000 kilometers away, that island. And Krishna Balaram are there. And he said, we'll arrange it. Here's our courier. So this is what the Acharyas give. Why am I telling the story? Because this is what Ramanuja Acharya and any Acharya gives, is this loba, this greed, this intense greed that I must offer my life and something to Krishna. I'll never forget one sannyasi friend of mine, Vishnujana Swami. He used to give the analogy, prachar meant you're bringing, like pujaris, people, they weave different flowers in a nice garland for the Lord's neck. The jivas are like different multicolored flowers, you know, with multicolored, multi-levels of personality, you know, you have to deal with all of them. And you put all these jivas all together in one string, and you put it on their neck. There you are, we're offering all these jivas to you, you know. And only Krishna and Dauji and Gornatai can maintain all living entities. Can satisfy the heart of all living entities. And everybody else will fail. Because they're only the maintainer. Bharta. They're only the Bharta. Bhokta and Bharta. They're the enjoyer and the maintainer. And they'll do everything. And it's so astounding. And the more you hear and chant and love them, and talk about them, and think about them, then we also become a friend. We also become a maintainer. We also become... So other maintainers, householders, grihasthas, pracharaks, we're maintainers. We have dependents. We must give the Supreme Personality of Godhead endlessly, constantly. And to the extent we do that, we become a well-wisher, we become a friend, we become a maintainer. That. And bhokta, devotees, we just simply take the remnants, prasad. Prasad. What is prasad? Prasad means mercy. What is mercy? It's not just food. Prasadam means that which is mercy, that which sustains. That which sustains. What sustains you? Well, you know, when you're young, you know, you gotta eat something to live, right? But when you're old, nothing sustains like Harinam, Charanamrit, you know. Harinam, Charanamrit, this is real food, you know. Harinam, Charanamrit, Bhagwat, Harikatha, blah, blah, blah. You can chew it for days, you know. If you've got a question, you have a relationship. Now, if you have no question, where's your relationship? So you should always have a good question to ask a sadhu or a sadvi. If you ask that question, then you have a relationship. And if you're greedy, then the Lordship is pleased with your greed. They'll give. And if they're not giving, then it means two things. Lobahin or adhikarhin. That's all. Suppose you have a desire, you have a question. But what are you going to do with that answer? If you're not going to apply it concretely in your life, then what do you need it for? What do you need it for? So either we have no greed, lobahin, or adhikarhin. I cannot use it. If you cannot use it, what do you need it for? So this is the idea of searching for pramanam. Is this loba, the intense greed to have it. And it should be so much that it becomes like in Gayatri Mantartha Deepika, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Pad describes it a little bit more. One that he was meditating on Kam Gayatri once. 24 and a half moons. And he could not understand it. He said, by my calculation, it should be 25 syllables. But my predecessor, Kaviraj Goswami, must not be wrong. I don't understand it. And if I don't understand it, what is the use of my life? He wanted to fast on the banks of Radhakund and give up his life. Now, Sriji was not pleased by that. She does not want that. She is so soft-hearted. She will not let any of her servants suffer. Sriji is so soft. She appeared in Chakravarti Pad's heart and said, Kaviraj Goswami is my Manjari servant, and what he wrote was not wrong. It is in this particular Vyakaran, particular grammar book. Now, in the morning, you look in that grammar book and you will find the rule. And Radha spoke him the rule. The rule is this, that something that consonants after a vowel or something becomes a half consonant, something like that. So it is 24 and a half, and you will see it tomorrow. Now, give up your fasting and lamentation now, she insisted. This is like 11 o'clock at night. Give up your fasting and lamentation now. She wanted him to surrender now, not later, you know, not after I read the book and see the Pramana. You have faith in my words and you stop what you're doing now. It was astounding, you know. But Sriji will not let her servant suffer. You know, Tulsi Rani will never let her servant suffer. You know? Huh? Krishna and Gauji will never let their servant suffer. Gauranga will never let his servant suffer. And neither will Ramanujacharya let his servant suffer. They live forever. Now, the amazing thing about Ramanujacharya's Tirubhava is that his murti is still there. And they coat it with sandalwood paste or whatever, but he's still there. And they still worship it. It's still there. And they say, I've talked to some Sri Vaishnavas, that his body is still soft. When they actually clean his body once a year or something, probably on this day, they clean his body of all that chandan and all that oil and whatever they put on him. His body is still soft. Rigor mortis is still not set in. The Acharya. But he's living forever in his tikka. He lives forever in his basha. Sri basha of Gita. They live forever in that basha. They live forever. The Acharya lives forever in this teaching. Satam mayam sarga pratam nisargo yad arthabani shuddhi chetasam api pratikshanam navyabhat atratasya yad sriyavitanam eva sadhu varata. 10th canto, chapter 13, verse 2. That sadhus are relishing harikata as if it is ever fresh. Sarga pratam. They're interested in sarga pratam, the essence of everything. So Vaishnavas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Saragrahi Vaishnavas, they are attached to the essence of life, the most important thing. Just tell me the bottom line. What is it? It's so funny. Sometimes the bottom line you have to dig. And the bottom line is, it's hidden sometimes. The bottom line is hidden sometimes. Like I only know one Sanskrit joke, and I have to get more, really, because they're pretty cool, you know. and why is it cool? Because, you know, God knows when they were written. You know, they were written, you know, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, and passed down. They become shubhashitas, you know, quotable utterances, you know, auspicious utterances, because they're so crafty. O wicked mind, eat whatever you want. Don't, no need to be merciful to your body. Paranam durlabam loke. It's very difficult to get the opportunity to eat others' food. Sarirani puna punaha. But bodies, you'll get again and again. What do you worry? No? It means viparita vyangam. It's opposite sarcasm. Do the opposite, stupid. Instead, you know. Do the opposite, stupid. Yateshtam bhukshva durabuddhe, a wicked mind, just eat whatever you want. The wicked mind says so many things. Do the opposite, stupid. Control what you're eating. You know? You do have to be merciful to your body, and you should not exploit the willingness of the grahasas or people to give you some grains or some food. And sarirani puna punaha. It means the opposite. It means this should be your last body. That's it. So what Ramanujacharya gave is that it should be your last body for his followers. And so powerful of an acharya is he and his words that even now, you know, 800, practically 900 years since his departure, his Sri Bhasha and his teachings still illuminate the hearts of those Sri Vaishnavas. He is considered to be their Sampradaya Pavartak. Of course, Yamanujacharya is quotable and like that, but not like Ramanuja. Ramanuja really touched their hearts. Yamanujacharya, basically what it was, Srila Ramanujacharya fulfilled the unfinished business of Alabanda, of Yamanacharya. That's what he did. Unfinished business. So, I mentioned all this because this is important. What? Because when you look at, like today, there's that Tirubhav of an Acharya, then we have to see Bhagavad Katha, Hari Katha, or Acharya Katha in terms of your personal life. What can we gain out of it? What's in it for me? Kya lab hai? What do we get? So what we get is the understanding what is a sadhu and what is a sadvi. It is their instructions that change the heart indelibly, which you always feel in debt. It gave you something powerful, you never forgot it the rest of your life, and you're always in debt. And when you remember that shiksha to give it to other devotees, you smile and laugh and remember that sadhu and sadvi with great relish. That's the idea. Permanence. That sadhu sangha is permanent association, which you hold in the heart with great relish until you die. And if you give it to other people, they may hold on to it until they die. That's the idea of it is. This determination. Prabhupada always relished the chapter 2, verse 41. You have a sayatmika buddhi. Because Vishwanath Chakravartipad's tikka there in Sararta Varshini commentary says that the orders of the spiritual master cannot be separated from the disciple's heart. It's just like part of his heart. He just does it, you know. That following the order of the spiritual master cannot be separated from the heart of the disciple. Prabhupada realized that Bhakti Siddhanta's orders to him for preaching and like that should be his life and soul. So, this is the idea. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about making the disciple a perpetual debtor. That you can never, it's an order. Gurudev gave the order and it's wonderful and I should follow it. And your whole life is spent trying to follow it and try to follow the order. To the extent you do so, you're successful. The whole parampara is behind it. You know? It's so ecstatic. Now, about Ramanujacharya, in Mayapur, in Gandharvika Giridhari Math, Chaitanya Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the Parikrama Marga has the four acharyas in murti form. The idea that Sri Gauranga, he gave principles from each of the acharyas and enshrined it in our Achintya Beda Beda Tattva Gaudiya philosophy. Service to the Vaishnavas and Sharanapati, Sharanagati, surrender, Sharanapatta, surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. These two principles they took from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sharanagati, offering everything, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has elaborated as Shadanga Sharanagati, six-limbed aspect of proof of self-surrender, and service to the Vaishnavas. Chardiya Vaishnava Seva, Nishtar Payacha Keva, Naratam Thakur Mahasaya said. Nobody became liberated without serving a Vaishnava. No service to Vaishnavas. Gauranga told Satyaraj Khan, Grihastha Vishayami, he said in Madhya Kanda, Madhya Leela, chapter 15, verse 103. Grihastha Vishayami. Kimura Sadane. How will I develop practices, spiritual practices? Then Gauranga said, Prabhukahe, he said, Krishna Seva Vaishnava Sevan and Nirantara Kuru Hari Nama Sankirtan. That's the idea. Serve Krishna, serve the Vaishnavas, and constantly chant Hari Nama Sankirtan. That will do. That will do. That basically, that instruction is good for anybody's life. What to speak of a grahastha? Kimura Sadani. What kind of sadhana should I do? So that's really nice, you know? So this is what the acharyas give. Ultimately, Ramanujacharya ultimately gave that. That one chants the holy name and one loves the Lord. One famous story here comes that Srila Ramanujacharya was walking on the streets of Sri Rangam. And there was one householder holding a chhatri, an umbrella, over his wife. And some of his disciples started to laugh at that. But Ramanujacharya was very serious and he said, no, there must be some, he must have some conviction in heart that propels him forward. So go and ask him, why is he doing that? I'm doing that because I don't see any other beauty more beautiful than my wife. That's why I'm holding a chhatri, an umbrella over her head. So Srila Ramanujacharya said, if I show you something more beautiful, will you serve that? Will you surrender to that? Yes, I'm prepared. So then he brought that couple in front of Ranganath and he prayed to the Lord, my dear Lord, kindly show them a little of your sweetness to them, please. And Ramanujacharya prayed to the Lord, please display to them your sweetness so that they may be attracted. Then he turned to them and said, so, what do you think of this beauty? Ah, I've never seen anyone more beautiful. Then you should serve that beauty. They became Ramanujacharya's disciples. Later on, I don't know what the detail was. Some brahmachari had some scruff, you know, with some other brahmachari or something. And Ramanujacharya said, you don't know what is austerity, what is tapasya. You go. And he told that order, that brahmachari, you go try and you steal some ornaments from this householder. Then that brahmachari went to that grahastha's house. And, you know, and evidently in those days, you know, you didn't have walls, gates, chokidars, you know, dogs, you know, like that. You know, nobody had any fear, you know, I mean, like, you know, in those days. So this brahmachari's hand goes through the kirki, through the window, you know. And the lady is, you know, sleeping next to her prabhu or something like that, you know. And he feels this, you know, this hand's grapping on this girl, you know, trying to steal her mangalsutra or gold jewelry or something. Prabhu, Prabhu. You know, she wakes up. Prabhu, somebody's trying to steal my jewelry. And then he says, look at that. Look at that hand. Yeah, I think I recognize that hand. She says, I think it's a brahmachari. Maybe it's a brahmachari from the mud. Oh, the mud is so poor. Oh, the mud is so poor. They're in need, you know? They're in need, you know? Oh, Prabhu, I feel so bad. Maybe we should let him steal it all, you know? And the brahmachari, when he heard that, he felt so bad that he went back. And Ramanujacharya said, now do you see what is vairagya? You know, you see their heart, you see their detachment? So it's so interesting. His life is so interesting in the shiksha and the stories, you know, that happen about these things. Because the stories, the activity, the shiksha, it makes you a debtor. It makes you understand a little bit more what is the life of a sadhu, what is surrendered, what does service to Vaishnavas mean, you know? Oh, it's so nice. All right. You got a few minutes. A few stories. Actually, to tell you frankly, hey. Final days in Sri Rangu. Actually, exile from Sri Rangu was pretty cool in Melkote. The place is there. You can still go there. It's really cool. It is in Sanskrit it's called Yadavagiri, the mountain of the Yadus. Balarama went there and he presented the Utsav Murti, which was handed down. It actually was worshipped in the Raghu dynasty. And it was handed down by one girl that was married into the Yadu dynasty as Kanyadan. And the deity came in their family. And during the Mahabharata war, Dauji could not take part in the war. And he was disturbed by that. So to pacify his mind, he grabbed the Brahmins and went on Tirthayatra. Tirthayatra, they went down South India. And they saw the Mulavamurti, the big deity there. And Dauji thought, man, this deity would be just right as the Utsav Murti for this deity. And so when he returned to Dwaraka, he told Krishna. And Krishna was, really? Is that so? When? So then Krishna later on took the Yadus and they went down there. Yeah, Dauji, you're right. You know, of course, Dauji is always right, you know. Anyway. Yeah, Dauji, you're right, you know. But see, Dauji does not push. He advises Krishna, but sometimes Krishna doesn't listen because Krishna is Krishna. No? And so, yeah, Dauji, you're right. You know. So then they gave the deity there. And the deity is there. Selva Pillai, child Narayan. Very sweet, with chubby cheeks. He's Narayana. Very sweet, like a child Narayan. Extremely charming. And he comes out one night a year, from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning, wearing the Vairamudi Utsav. It's called the Anirudhi Kirti, you know. And this crown comes from the treasure house of Mysore and goes for like 50 kilometers and they worship it, the crown. And then they put it on their head of the Lord. Diamond crown. And they say that if you've got Shraddha, then you can see the crown is diamond. And if you can't, then, you know, then you see it as a lump of coal. If you have no Shraddha in the Lord, then you see it as a lump of coal. And lakhs, 4 lakhs of people at least come from Bangalore to see that Utsav. And many Muslims also. Why? Because there's below the feet of that deity, there's a figurine of a Muslim girl named Bibi Nachir, who was a Muslim girl. She happened to be the daughter of the Sultan in Delhi, who was attached. Ramanuja Acharya, he was taking darshan of the Mulavamurti and he couldn't see the Utsav Murti. So he asked the Lord, where's your Utsav Murti? And the Lord told him, he's in Delhi. So Ramanuja Acharya took a yatra, a procession of devotees, and they went all the way to Delhi to take darshan of the Sultan. So then the Sultan, you know, the Muslim Mughal Sultan like that, you know, my army, we steal, you know, we break so many temples, we steal so many murtis, you know. I can't remember if I have that murti that you want. Just go in the treasury, you know, if you find it, you can have it, you know. So he went in the treasury and he's looking for this murti. He didn't see it. You know, there's so many idols there, so many murtis, so many deities there. Probably gold, you know. Probably gold, you know, deities, something stolen by the Mughals. So Ramanuja Acharya sits in meditation and prays to the Lord. I'm here in Delhi. Where are you? Please reveal yourself. And the Lord said, I am in the room of the princess. The Sultan's daughter was secretly worshipping the deity, you know. And it was so attached to it. So now Ramanuja Acharya thought, uh-oh, this is a really heavy thing, you know. The Sultan's daughter is worshipping the deity. How am I going to get this out, you know. So he went to the Sultan, the deity, the idol I seek is in the room of your daughter. Now, the king is perplexed. Now, what am I going to do?
You know, this is, I promised this guy, this sadhu from South India, that if you find it, you can have it. And now, it's in the room of my daughter. You know, I'm stuck now. What am I going to do? So he turned to his mantri, prime minister, which were all Hindus, because Hindus are not going to revolt, you know, so, you know, the Hindus were. So the prime minister was evidently a mantri, you know, the Hindu mantri, must have been a Brahmin or somebody pretty big. You know, he had some nyaya, so he thought, come on, Raja, you know, deities can't walk, you know, so why don't you just ask him? If he's actually yours, call him. If he walks to you, then you can have him. Because if the deity doesn't walk, then, you know, you can keep it for your daughter, you know what I mean? You won't be breaking your promise, you know, like that. So Ramanujacharya was not deterred. And he called out in Tamil, oh my dear Silva Pillai, oh child Narayan, please come. And he, in such nice begging way, and the Lord came and sat in his lap. He must have blown the mind of the Sultan, you know. Probably the Muslim guy never saw, you know, a deity get up and walk and sit in Ramanujacharya's lap. And Ramanuja hugged him, you know, and he got up and he left real quick, you know, in case the Sultan changes his mind. You know, real quick, he blew out of there, you know. And so he ran out of there. And then the daughter, you know, she's in Viraha. Oh, I can't live, you know, without my Thakurji, you know, living like this. Call the army. Go after that. Steal that from that sadhu. You know? So the Muslim army is running to go. And Ramanujacharya, he's chuktur, he's smart. He knows that these Muslims cannot be trusted. You know what I mean? So they're really booking. You know, they're really moving to go towards South India, right? And the Mughal's army, you know, from the Sultan's army is going behind in hot pursuit. But they couldn't catch them to steal the deity back. And the girl is like, ooh, you know, like girls are, right? You know? Now, there was one Muslim boy that had the hots for this girl. And he was always trying to get this girl, you know, like this. Don't worry, I'll help you, you know. And I'll help you get this idol back, you know, my beloved. All right. So then they went all the way. And they went all the way to the border of the Sultan's kingdom. Then afterwards, in hot pursuit, Ramanujacharya, they booked really fast, and they moved, you know. And the Sultan's army couldn't keep up with them. So the Sultan's army said, what can we do? You know, it's not my problem after all. It's the king's daughter's problem. It's not my problem, you know. I tried my best, you know. I don't know. Things were probably so heavy in those days, he might have lost his head, I don't know, but what can we do? It's the end of our kingdom. We'll have to go back. So the girl confided to this boy and he said, we're not going back. And they snuck underneath the lined enemy lines and went. Now because she was a Muslim girl, they would not let her in the temple. So she stayed outside and doing dhyana. She's meditating on the Thakurji by meditation. And they say in Melkote that she had a secret tunnel. Evidently she got so desperate to see the deity that she would tunnel under the ground, you know, to go into the temple to see the deity. That's called real determination, you know. And I don't know if it's after her departure or whatever, they made a little murti of this Muslim girl and put it underneath the feet of that deity. And because of that, murti, little figurine, therefore, lakhs of Muslims will also come and see, you know, see the deity. The only, Karnataka Muslims are not that fanatical, not as fanatical as Kerala Muslims, you know, but evidently, you know, if you get like, even Muslims from Bangalore will come and see the deity. Because of Bibi Nacher is there underneath at the feet of the Lord. Interesting thing. So Dauji told Krishna, very good murti. Like that. And so Krishna gave it. And because Krishna and the Yadus came from Dwaraka, therefore it's known as Yadavagiri. I have a book in Sanskrit actually in my library. It must be still there. Called Yadavagiri Prakashakam. All about the glories of Melkote in Sanskrit. Anyway, this is one of the exploits of Ramanujacharya. Now, we're late, as usual. So, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes of his final. Not long after Koresh regained his sight, Ramanuja decided to leave Yadavagiri and return to his previous residence of Sri Rangam. On the way, he stopped for some time at Vrishabhachala near Madurai to worship Sundarabahu in the temple there. In previous time, the great female devotee Angdal had composed a prayer which said, "O Lord Hari, if you will accept me, I will offer you 100 pots of sweet rice, 100 pots of butter." Shortly after composing this prayer, Angdal left this world and returned to the abode of the Lord. Evidently, Angdal was referring to her and her swarup, you know, and her swarup was the Lord's consort. Offering him 100 pots of sweet rice and 100 pots of butter. Obviously, she was going to do that in her swarup. Anyway, return to the abode of the Lord. Ramanuja fulfilled her prayer by offering Lord Sundarabahu 100 pots of sweet rice and 100 pots of butter she had promised him. For this act, Yatiraja became known as the elder brother of Angdal, fulfilling his sister's promise. That's interesting. So Vrishabhachala, Ramanuja and his disciples went on to Viliputtur, the birthplace of Angdal. There he saw the deity of Sheshasai Narayan and offered prayers to Angdal in the temple dedicated to her. Continuing their journey, the Vaishnavas passed through Alvar Tirunagiri, Sri Vaikuntha, and other holy places. Sri Vaikuntha, this is really South Tamil Nadu. And holy, arriving back in Sri Rangam. The devotees ran to see Ranganath, their lord and master. When the people of the town heard Yadiraj and his followers had returned, they felt that they had regained their lives. That time, Koresh was also reunited with his spiritual master, falling at Yadiraj's feet with tears of ecstasy in his eyes. The next 2 years, the Vaishnavas passed their days in Sri Rangam, like they had done previously, singing bhajans in praise of Hari, hearing Ramanuja's wonderful discourses. This time, Koresh was a very old man, unable to rise from bed. Yadiraj and the other devotees would come to him every day to chant the holy name and discuss passing to the Lord. One day, while all the Vaishnavas were holding joyful kirtan, Koresh began to shed tears of ecstasy. Taking hold of his guru's feet, he pressed them to his heart. In this position, Koresh gave up his life. Witnessing the departure of this exalted Vaishnava, all the devotees were grief-stricken, and Ramanuja himself was seen to shed tears. After a short while, the Acharya controlled his feelings of separation and spoke to the others, comforting them and reminding them that Koresh was now undoubtedly in the direct association of the Lord. Then he said, "Parashara, Koresh's son is just like the son of Lord Ranganath himself. From today, you should accept him as your leader. His devotion is like that of his father. His wisdom is incomparable. He's fully qualified to take the position of Acharya. He seated Parashara on the Vyasasan, put a flower garland around his neck, embraced the son of Koresh, bestowed all his blessings on him. Koresh's body was burnt in the banks of Kaveri. The devotees passed the rest of the day. In this way, all the grief was removed from the hearts of the devotees. Every day for the next month, a festival was held in Sri Rangam to celebrate Koresh's return to the abode of the Lord. Ramanujacharya was now 100 years old. And although he lived for 20 years more, he never again left Sri Rangam. Amazing. Ramanujacharya lived for 120 years. Amazing. Reminds him of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya lived for 125 years. At least. Astounding. He said, when they arrived back at the... when one day Ramanujacharya was invited to take prasadam at the house of one of his household disciples. After they had eaten, all the devotees began to discuss the glories of Narayana, putting various questions to Ramanujacharya and listened to the explanation. So sweet were these discussions, devotees became unaware of the passage of time. Like I said, they were eating this. They took prasadam, but they were eating this katha, you know? And then, by the time Yadiraj rose to leave the house, it was late at night. When they arrived back at the ashram, they found the only person still awake was the pious Brahmin. "Why have you waited up so long for me? Have you eaten prasad yet? How could I think of eating," the Brahmin said, "when I haven't rendered my service to you?" Yatiraja smiled broadly and embraced the man, saying, "You're a wonderful devotee, perfect servant of the Lord. Being absorbed only in thoughts of service, you've attained perfection." He drank the water that washed the Brahmin's feet and offered it to other disciples. How did they get that water? They must have got it by trickery. I don't think that Brahmin gave it. I don't think that Brahmin gave it to him willingly. Yeah, if you want remnants, you practically have to steal it. When they learned that Ramanujacharya was going to lead them and return to Ranga, all the devotees in Yadavagiri were very unhappy. When they presented their distress with him, Yadiraj gave permission for a stone murti of himself to be made. When it was completed, he said to them, "When you're feeling sorrow because of separation from me, all of you come before this murti. By contemplating this form here, your unhappiness will be removed." Final instructions. Hearing their cries, Ramanuja came out of his trance and said to his disciples, "My dear children, why do you cry out in lamentation like uneducated men? Do you think this body can endure forever? Am I not fixed in your hearts for all time? Give up this useless wailing and understand the will of the Lord." The disciples said, "Oh Master, as always your instructions are perfect. Nonetheless, it is impossible for us to bear the pain of separation which must surely overwhelm us if you leave us now. Out of pity for your children, we beg you to remain with us for some more time more." In response to this request, Ramanujacharya stayed with them for 3 more days. And he ordered that all his disciples should come there. When they were assembled, he distributed his final instructions. Quote, "Worship all Vaishnavas as you worship your Guru. Number one. Have faith in the previous Acharyas and never be controlled by the senses. Two. Never be satisfied by worldly knowledge. Three. Study the scriptures which describe the glory of the Supreme Lord. Four. Transcendental knowledge can overwhelm the pushings of the mind and senses. Five. Be indifferent to the promptings of the mind. Six. Always relish the chanting of the holy name and qualities of the Lord. Seven. The best way to serve the Lord is rendering service to his devotees. Eight. Never follow the ways of a Vaishnava for material gain. Nine. And always endeavor for purity. Ten. Every day spend some time in contemplating the greatness of the spiritual master, and every day study the teachings of the Vaishnava Acharyas. 11. Always associate with those who are surrendered to the Lord. 12. Avoid those who teach paths other than devotional service and those interested in sensual pleasures. 13. One who sees the deity as stone, the guru is an ordinary man, the devotees in terms of caste or body. Charanamrita is ordinary water, the holy name is a mundane sound vibration. Supreme Lord is one of the demigods, a certain destined for hellish life. This is a quote. That shloka is a famous quote. When Yadiraj had finished speaking, then the disciples questioned him further, asking how they should conduct themselves within this world. Again, Ramanuja instructed them. One who was surrendered to Lord Narayan should not be concerned about his future, depending always on the Lord's mercy. All duties should be performed as acts of devotion to the Lord and never for material gain. Study Sri Bhashyam, teach it to others. This service is the most pleasing to the Lord. And if that is not possible, study the teachings of other devotees and then instruct some disciples. If you're unable to do this, then go to a holy place and reside there, or go to Yadavagiri and serve the Lord there. If you cannot do that, then remain where you are, surrender to your guru, and meditate on Vaishnava mantras. If all of these are impossible, simply seek out a pure-hearted Vaishnava and associate with him constantly. Discriminate carefully between friends, enemies, and those who are indifferent. Those who are Vaishnavas will be your friends. The atheists and blasphemers will despise and hate you, and the worldly men will be indifferent. Associate joyfully with the devotees. Rigorously avoid the blasphemers. Never be disturbed by the materialistic plans of worldly men. Never flatter princes and worldly men, seeking to earn your livelihood thereby. Remember, the Supreme Lord always takes care of those who are surrendered to him. Take shelter of him. Have faith in him alone. If you follow these instructions, you will never be separated from me. Why should one grieve over the disappearance of the temporary body?
Wow.
See, sadhu sangha means sadhu shiksha anusara vartma. Following the essence of the instructions. If you follow these instructions, Ramanuja just said, you'll never be separate from me. Why do you grieve for the temporary disappearance of the body? When Ramanujacharya finished speaking, Dasarathi, Govinda, Andrapurna, and some of the other leading disciples came forward and made this presentation to him. Your body, which is ever engaged in the service of the Lord, can never be material. Our bodies are temporary, but you exist only on the platform of spiritual life. Our request is that we never be deprived of the sight of your transcendental form. Taking pity upon them, Ramanuja accepted his disciples' request and ordered that expert sculptors be brought there to carve a stone deity in his likeness. After 3 days, the work was complete. The deity was bathed with water from the kavari, installed upon a newly constructed as altar. Yadiraja then came slowly up to the deity, filled it with his potency by breathing into the crown of the head. Turning into his disciples, he said, "This is my second self. When I cast off this body, you may worship this form instead of me." Then he laid down with his head on Govinda's lap and his feet in the lap of Annapurna. In this position, with his eyes fixed on the wooden shoes of his own spiritual master, Ramanujacharya gave up his body, returned to the abode of Lord Vishnu. It was noontime, the 10th day of the bright moon fortnight in the month of Magh, in the year 1059 of the Sakya era, which conforms to 1137. What does that mean? Wow. That is 872 years ago. 872 years ago. A few days later, Govinda, Ramanuja's cousin and lifelong companion, also departed from this world. Obviously, in viraha, in separation. Kind of like Krishna Das Babaji gave up his body a year after Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was no reason to live, you know. Other devotees remained in the leadership of Parasarabhatta, the son of Kuresh, always endeavoring to follow in their master's footsteps by serving Narayana. By serious practice of devotional service, they were able to feel Ramanuja's presence within their hearts. Thus, their intense feeling of separation were mitigated. Parasara continued the mission of Ramanuja Acharya by strongly preaching the doctrines of Vaishnavism. In a great debate, he overcame Vedanta Madhava Das, the leader of the impersonal scholars, and made him into a devotee. Years later, after the disappearance of Parasara, this same Madhava Das became the Acharya of the Sri Vaishnavas. Ramanuja Acharya ki jai. Well, 872 years ago. Wow. And for those who follow the Sri Basha and other shots like that, it's wow, you know? He's one of the Tikkacharyas of Bhagavatam as well. So sometimes his Tikka is also resorted to. There's like 10 Tikkacharyas that are quite prominent in Bhagavatam. So when you hear that, oh, this is what Vishwanath says. Oh, what does Bhaktisiddhanta say? Oh, and then many people will ask, what does Ramanujacharya say? So these Tikkacharyas live forever in their Tikkas. And that's what we get. Hari Ram. Srila Ramanujacharya ki jai. 872 years ago. Wow.